Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Can I just point something out?
Yeah, how far we've gotten in the notes?
So I have about five fucking pages of these things. This is page one, and we are here.
Four lines for
words,
the people at home.
Words that are not in my DM notes. Parmigiana, Italian accent.
I feel like you're laying a lot of this at my feet.
Make 100 mistakes and make 100 more. That's what time travel's for. You can always go back
and try again.
And if you go back
and kill your friends,
you can always go back. You can always go back.
Anorak, the Desert Perilous, a desert created seemingly out of nothing at the end of the First Age of Ruin, with the collapse of Netheril
Tokay.
As the world became... It's not Tokay. I saw you. You poured Red Bull into a wine glass.
Tokay.
The land of Anorak is inhospitable. It is said that none can pass. It is a fitting... demilitarized zone between Barovia and Carcosa, two nations that have been at war for almost 100 years now over a single crime, the non-return of the body of a Carcosan lady of great prominence and power named simply Petrina Velikovna. The dragon friends have found themselves with a singular mission. They must find the body of Petrina, repatriate it to Carcosa, and thus stop a world war that threatens not just the balance of power in these forgotten realms, but the cold cell engines that they hope yet will ferry them back to the time that they belong in, that third way age, that gilded age, the age where they were all born. They have a second mission. It's finding a hat or some shit. I don't really care. But
wow. A little hat.
Maddie's a guest.
Maddie's a guest and from an improv school, and you have embarrassed us so much with your lack of yes anding here.
I am a guest, Dave.
And yet, the dragon friends are not alone. They have found new friends. If friends, they can be called Burpo the Cleric, but also three wild youths, Stanza, Rhyme, and I believe Chime?
Yeah.
Are already accompanying them on a mission into a cult compound.
And I gotta say, Dave, when I read these notes nowish, I really liked what you'd done there with those names. But I gotta say, there are some members of the audience that were not picking up what you were throwing down with that.
Yeah,
can you explain
the joke? Because I didn't get it.
The joke.
Well, because it elicited a reaction from the audience, so I didn't.
It's not really.
I'm not going to explain.
My deeply rich intertextual...
Does anyone want to explain to him?
No, okay. That's not how this works.
No, they're not sound. Like, chimes are sound, but stanza is like a poetry thing or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, there's a stanza. You can have a stanza in music.
Oh, God, it's deep.
Now you know how the audience feels.
You have been... The camels and the chariots are already pulling your wagon.
I mean, toot, that's a sound.
The mule... The mule... left forlornly behind as the five of you with your newfound guests and companions travel forward further, deeper into a desert that is famed for that none may pass it and live. The chariots, you were divided amongst the dragon friends, are split amongst the chariots, which means that Bobby and Filge, you're spending time with Stanza. Dunaface, is that what?
Hey, when I'm in the desert, I'm an echo. Umberto Eco!
No!
Hiya! Aurora, name of the rose!
You can't... that's not a podcast joke you're allowed to do. Burpo, you're with Umberto Eco. And that means that Friezo is in the lead chariot, trying to explain a very complicated joke about Harangons to Chime.
Yes, I forgot. Oh.
You thought we'd forgot about this. No, I want to hear this joke.
Chime, was it?
Yeah.
Chime. Are you married?
No.
Friezo scribbles across something out in his little joke notebook.
If you did have a if you had a wedding,
uh-huh.
if you got engaged,
sure,
and you were gonna give the person who you were engaged
my fiance,
your fiance,
a
ring,
yeah,
would that ring be like 14 carats, 22 carats? What do you reckon?
You had 15 minutes.
Come on! Sorry.
The chariot screeched to a halt as they crest a hill in the desert, and sand and sparks, it has to be said, fly from the rusty, ill-prepared axles of the chariots as you see, as your eyes quickly adjust to the glare of the powerful sun of the Desert Perilous.
Sorry about that. The axles are ill-prepared.
You see what must be a mirage, but you realize it is not, a shimmering, beautiful blue oasis, an outcrop of white, pure rock that you can see in the sunlight has a beautiful statue of a woman with her arms outstretched, water trickling from the rock between her feet, nourishing the oasis, and a smattering of tents, buildings, and wagons around the water and sand, as the figure of Stanza standing beside you says, 60 years ago, in the dark of night, Elder Creed.
Stanza, if you want to call him daddy, you can call him daddy.
Walked barefoot and without water in the darkest of the night.
Usually when you tell this story, you say, daddy did this and daddy did that.
For 4 days.
I feel like trying not to say daddy is throwing you off. Usually when you say you got a rhythm.
They said that he would die. They said that it was impossible. But when our...
Now, see, this is the thing.
When Mr. Creed emerged from the desert 6 days later, he said that he had found water and a powerful vision of the siren of the blank note, and he founded his sonic church, and he did amass his followers, and he did find money and support from the powerful patrons of House Cassador, and this is our reward. This is our retreat. This is where that beautiful rebirth of the third age will happen. Welcome to Daddy's Mansion.
The shed is a big statue.
Yeah.
And can I make a funny idea for the statue?
Suggestion. I don't see why not.
I just think it'd be funny if the statue was like pretty like haphazardly made, but then you said there was like water trickling through the feet. And the feet have a lot of attention paid to them and are really
it's
detailed.
It's like a Tarantino designed his statue.
Yeah. It's like, oh, like, who cares about the face and the whatever else, and the feet are just like, the sculptor spent a lot of time
totally
on the
going to allow that. Yeah, yeah. That's 100% what's happened. Yeah. They're incredibly, incredibly and anatomically horny feet.
Dave, do I can I do a religion check or a history check and see if I recognise the statue?
It has to be history for you because you're born 800 years in the future. Maddie, try to keep up. So...
14.
14. You... Again, all of this is strange. The Sonic Church of the Siren is something that you've never heard of, and yet this is a powerful building. You've heard of House Cassador, which is one of the... foremost houses of Carcosa. You've heard, obviously, of the Desert Perilous, which is the vast Anorak desert that exists in your time. But there is no holy site in this desert. There's no site that any histories that you know of have ever told about.
Okay, so that siren's not someone we met once or something.
It's not a fucking callback to season 2 or some shit.
Well, again, it's very badly made, but if you recognise feet in the lineup...
I think you've worked hard on the story, Dave. I think you've worked...
all right. Oh, pretty nice lady. Wow, she got really nice feet. Who made that?
As
yeah, where's the sculptor? Can we meet the sculptor?
As you ask the question.
Yeah, can we meet the sculptor?
The artist in the artist in residence is, of course, in her quarters, and you will meet her soon enough. But first of all, you step onto holy land. Please take off your shoes. Take off your sandals.
Oh, yeah. You'd like that. You'd like that. Yeah, I fell for that once before. Never again. Shoes stay on.
No, I'll take mine off. Sure, why not? You know, when in Rome.
Friezo takes his feet, his shoes off and hops. He hops down onto the sand. Uh-huh. And a figure of a young mid-20s with a shock of red hair, and again the same sort of patchwork clothes for the rest of them, walks up to you, places a lei of desert flowers around your neck, and then very ceremoniously pulls out a small, beautiful hat made of gold paper and places it on your head.
Did I just get a little golden hat? Mm-hmm. How interesting.
Anyone else taking off their shoes?
Anyone else want to take off their shoes?
I was going to refuse to take my shoes off, but I will reconsider.
Okay, so very quickly pulling off your giant dwarven steel-toed boots. You jump down and a quite apologetic cultist, I didn't say cultist, child, comes towards you apologetically with a lei of desert flowers. And it's like, we normally have a lot more hats, but we just had the shipment from Mr. Shieldbearer's caravan just came through with all the bread, and we're out of hats, but I can give you, don't be upset, because I've got a special, and this is real, we don't give these out to everyone, but here is a bit of string.
Oh, that's my shoes and all 8 pairs of socks off.
And now that we've seen them, honestly, you can put it back on.
Okay, look, at this point, I feel like I want to, like, burst out a weapon or really just act out in some way.
Well,
can
you
I
should
do
follow
that?
Your heart.
Great.
That's Filch.
I'm going to pull out my light crossbow and just go, like, troppo.
Yes.
Okay,
who are you shooting at?
You have to describe what go like troppo means.
Probably just a lot of, like, give me the hat! Give me a hat! I want a hat!
Well, that would suggest that you're pointing it at Friezo.
You're trying to want that from me!
I'm pointing it at everyone in sight. I can't pick a target. It's you! I'm going to shoot you! I saw it.
Make an intimidation check. This is very intimidating. Roll.
Against what, Dave? What are we?
11.
Well, I think actually that's contested by your
bravery.
Yeah, your let's. I think we're.
Well, I don't know. What about deception?
No, that's.
I'm pretending to be brave.
I want you to make a charisma save for
charisma
me.
Save. Oh, that's easy. Ha cha cha.
No, wait.
No,
no, not charisma.
No, you said charisma.
Charisma was wrong.
Dave, we're playing.
Do we think constitution, Alex?
No, we're playing.
Yeah, Alex, I'm sorry. Do we
yelling constitution?
You think it's a constitution? Oh, I'm sorry.
Because it's your constitution of
it's
heart.
A constitution save.
We are
give
playing.
Me the hat, give me the hat!
Sailor the century rules, Dave. It's first answers. We're going with charisma.
Okay, great. So you've just got it. Yeah, all right. So great. Now, you obviously have disadvantage.
No, charisma. Well. Dave. All right, what do I need to beat, Dave?
You have to beat a 13.
Yeah. And I'm constitution?
No, I'll let you do charisma with disadvantage.
Okay, all right. Damn. Yep, okay. Plus 10, 13 is what I got.
Plus 10, my God.
You rolled a 3?
3 plus 10 is 13.
You rolled a 3?
Yeah. Plus 10. Okay. I also rolled a lot of 12s.
So okay,
22.
So what that means is in Dungeons & Dragons that absolutely nothing about the moment protected you or anything about your internal reservoir of fortitude, but something rote and mechanical that you have trained into your brain. You've hotwired your brain over the last 7 years to protect you from this moment. So what does that look like?
Do I cast invisibility on myself? If we're doing reactions, I guess that's what
but
I do,
then
Dave.
I can just see a hat hovering in
midair. No, I think we've talked about this before. I think when I go invisible, the spell does everything.
I think that's what happens. Right, so you're like, gimme, you spin and point your crossbow at Friezo. And as a
but there hasn't been a Friezo here in 30 years.
As a nervous automatic reaction, he blinks out of existence.
Can I try and calm Burpo down?
Yeah, go for it.
I, like, put my hand on her hands which are on the crossbow, and I say, Burpo, these hats are no good for you. You wait long time to get new, nice little hat. These hat not good enough. You wait. We promised you we'd make you the perfect hat. Yeah. And that hat will come. Won't it, Bobby?
It sure will.
Bobby's been so quiet because he's been thinking about hats this whole time.
What I'm thinking about...
Tell me.
Going to revolutionise the way people think about hats. Isn't that right, Bobby?
Yep. So what I'm thinking about is a brim.
Oh.
A really huge brim on a tiny hat.
You're currently describing the hat that Byron is wearing.
No. I'm talking about a teacup with a hula hoop size brim.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys, I don't want to... just quick point of order.
So what you're looking for... I'm sorry, man. What you're looking for is a very flat disc with a bump.
No, I mean, because the disc is very small.
No, a very big disc.
Here's my question to you then. Is that still a tiny hat to you, or is that a big hat?
Hey guys, my dad's dying!
I say take the proportions of that hat and shrink it down.
Okay, so Byron goes to the wagon.
Dragging a body away.
Yeah, goes to the wagon. He's like, no one's going to help me. I guess I'm just going to fucking walk home.
This is how we're helping you, Byron. Maybe you could brainstorm hat ideas
My dad's dying!
Oh, God. All right, jeez. Right on, mate.
Is he always like this?
That's a disembodied voice.
Hing. We've been playing this for 7 years. Your good friend, Eden Lacey's
character,
who has done this show for you since 2016, has left.
The idea that we do this for Hing, like it's some sort of like Shutter Island sort of like.
Hing! This is his Truman Show.
No, this isn't just Hing. Hing's not the only one in trouble here.
But I never get in trouble.
Don't blame this on Hing. I know how you all work.
It's just you're saying Hing a lot, so I'm feeling like a lot of shame and guilt right now,
Your
Dave.
Your friend, Eden Lacey.
Okay, but just to remind you, I'm a guest.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Maddie, you're killing it.
Maddie, when he's yelling, I want you to imagine that you have something to guard you, some sort of enormous brimmed that goes around you.
This is like when you have a friend over and you can tell your parents are really mad at the friend you've had over, but they can't get the friend in trouble, so they just yell at you a lot.
I'm just trying to say that Eden is gone for now. He will be back soon, but he's not here.
Ah, so we can't kill his character.
He's spent a long time doing this podcast, and I need one of you to pretend to care that he's dying.
Well, his character's dying. Sure, okay, good.
Okay, alright.
I would say buddy. I'll kill him, but I don't think it would matter.
Alright, Dave,
This is how the dragon friends care.
I'm sorry.
We care so much that we need the hat to be perfect because the hat...
Our love language is being stupid pricks.
The hat represents our love of Baston and by extension Eden.
It's a promise we made to a quest. You
love torn
quests.
Up. We're torn up, aren't we?
You love quests, Dave. It's your favourite. Doesn't he love when he goes on a quest?
Oh,
he loves it when he sets up a quest.
There's a tent next to the wagon and it has like a huge cross on it.
Bobby yells, we need a cleric for our friend.
Oh.
Well done, Bobby. You get inspiration.
And Chime calls out, oh, yeah, we got a real sick one here. We need the lead cleric. Hey, toot toot. Toot toot.
Now that's a sound.
And
you call for me?
Yeah, and out of the tent comes... No, he's that guy. He's the guy you were doing. It's
is he
fine.
A sexy fox?
What? Yeah, what animal is he, Dave?
What animal?
What fuckable animal
toot,
is this?
Toot.
Yeah, toot toot.
I gave him a big voice. Like, he's a furbog. He's like half giant. He's got a little tree growing on his head.
Oh. I thought they were all animals.
Why
no?
did you think that?
Why did
what
you think
made
that?
You think that that was a rule?
Because some of the guys were animals.
One of the guys.
But he was a sexy animal. Yeah. So.
Do you want him to be an animal?
We thought they'd get more animalistic and more sexy as the date went on.
He's a rock. He's
until
a rock
met
steady.
Daddy.
He's rock steady.
The most from... animalistic of them all.
Wait.
I've changed it. He's rock steady from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh. I don't.
Is that
which
sexy?
One is that?
He's a rhino.
A rhino.
Oh, Tom.
He's wearing.
Tom
he's
says
got. He's got
sexy.
No shirt on. He's got no shirt on, but he's got a bandolier with two grenades.
Right over his nipples.
Is he hot as? Is he as hot as the rhinos from Baba?
Alex, there. Alex, Alex.
This is a sign of Alex.
He's even hotter.
All right, I'm listening, Dave.
He's got that Ratax ass.
There it is. Damn, they're a Texas Rule 34. Let's go.
Chime, what are you doing? You were supposed to be working on patrols like a junior acolyte to be.
I know, I was working on patrols.
You're goofing off again?
I'm not goofing off again. That's what we call jerking off.
You're not meant to goof off.
I was doing patrols and I patrolled my way into these folks. Hey, I found Echo.
Is hot that... stuff. Yeah, that's you, big fella with the horn. Enough chitting and chatting. I got a friend here who I care very much about.
We love him so much.
Yeah. And we really don't want him to die.
We love all the things he's done in our fucking adventures.
So here's the thing.
His name's Boo.
We need help. We just need you to do your thing. You fix up our friend. And I will not... maul you to death with my big maul. Okay, big buddy?
Our elder Creed had a simple message that the Sonic Church would never turn down one in need, provided that they were ready to do service for the church in turn.
Yeah, we'll commit Eden to do that. Look, that's fine.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, how long you need him for?
Well, I haven't said yet, but...
till he gets back from America.
Yeah, I mean, he a monk? He's very... He studied monk stuff, so that's adjacent.
Yeah.
Make a persuasion check.
I'm helping because I'm shouting.
Shouting. You're helping by shouting.
I'm helping by shouting
Yeah, like anytime you're trying to persuade somebody, having a crazy person shout helps.
No, but Dave, I'm shouting the last word of every sentence.
I'm going to do what you want.
You're
because the
Beastie
guy,
Boys wait, in
wait,
this.
I'm doing Beastie Boys. Yeah.
I'm going to do
Listen
what...
Here, you've got to help my friend. He'll stay with you till the very end.
I'm
cleaning, sweeping, cleaning the... toilet!
Oh, well, you're going to rhyme toilet now, so I want to hear what this is.
Get out the kettle and the water and
boil it! Yeah. Could Dad, can he use his inspiration for that?
Good rap!
Yeah, basically, if you fix our friend, he's happy to be a servant for you guys, like, indefinitely.
We care about him so much.
And then we'll come
Coda, in. Coda, Staccato, the twins, Piano and Forte, get over here.
Boo.
Don't boo me while I'm saving your friend's life. Take them to the Pilgrim's Quarters. He can rest here, but the rest of you.
Hey,
you're incurring a debt.
I was just wondering, before I do that...
Wait, is this Piano?
Chime, you're already on thin water. You've been...
No, I'm
thin water. First, oh, you're standing in a shallow puddle, my friend.
This is the twins, Piano and Forte.
Don't talk to the boss now. We got to do what he says. Don't get your head, down. I just want... He said we want thin water. Yeah, he's going to drown us again. Like he drowned us last week, man. Come on.
As you know, thin water is an expression in the desert.
Is because, that like goofing off?
Because...
Oh, there's thin water everywhere. Have you been goofing off?
You got thin water all over the Pilgrim's Quarters.
Hey, Tutu. I know you're going to get mad about this.
Hey,
Kurt, I suggest another name, because I think we can all agree, Toot Toot, that's a fucking great name.
It's a winner.
Toot Toot.
What about Honk Honk?
All right.
Me and Piano were just talking.
That's Forte, your piano.
Oh, you forgot who you were again, you dog.
I don't know about this. We were just talking to Honk Honk, and he said that the delivery, he said that the delivery didn't come. The shield bearer, he cut us off.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, he ain't gonna give us no food or medicine or...
Elder Creed wouldn't have allowed him that.
No, he said it wanted nothing to do with Elder Creed, and no more hats.
I walked so far through the desert.
Yeah, he said
I watched a man skin a mule.
He said that the church is...
He put it on my head. But that wasn't a hat. That was just leather.
Yeah, that sounds like that was just animal carcass.
I came all this way and you people, I don't know what you're doing.
Sorry, what?
Okay, if you've got something to say against the first sonic church of the siren...
Oh, no. What did the priest teach me? Don't upset a cult.
Whoops! One of the first things you learn in priest school.
Yeah, never piss off a cult. All right.
Piano and Forte and the others are taking Baston away to the pilgrim's quarters, but the rest of you...
Can I, wait, but as you do that, can I
beep, beep?
Can
is
I
that his
slip
name?
Some money to Forte?
No, it's Toot Toot and Honk Honk. Sorry.
I'd like to just slip beep, some money to Forte
yeah,
if
yeah,
he
absolutely.
Goes away, if I may have a chance to say.
You have a chance to have a quick conversation with Forte.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, what have I done wrong now? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'll kiss your feet. I'll do whatever you want.
No, I mean, go nuts.
Stay away from her feet, Forte.
Forte, you take good care of my friend. We'll be back for him. You take good care of him. If anything bad happens to him,
yeah,
I'm going to chop your head off.
I'm quite confused. You're giving me money to do something and then threatening me with...
It's one of the ones... It's carrot and stick, baby.
What did you say? I'm sorry. What was that?
Hang on. This is a group of people who worship feet. Why would you threaten to chop his head off? It's going to be much
but
more
how's he going to look at feet?
Oh, you can chop my head off. I don't mind about that. Just don't touch my feet. My beautiful feet.
The rest of you are being led towards the center of the oasis, and you can see now that there is one wagon, and you don't need to make a perception check to see this. It's quite obvious. This is a fine wagon, a two-story wagon that once must have been once dragged by something like 10 or 12 camels to bring it here. Now long departed, and it is beautifully painted in rich yellow and mustard tones that are already peeling in the wind, and there is four steps leading up to a red peeling painted door as Honk Honk.
Mm-hmm. Well, who are you talking about?
Rataxus is Toot Toot.
Yeah, Rataxus Toot
Toot. Toot Toot flourishes his hand and says, "The Mistress Cassador awaits."
Mistress Cassador.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
She
might be a sexy fox.
From the house Cassador, mayhaps?
Yeah. That's siren. How surnames work.
The siren of the blank note?
So.
No, that's their god.
As I said, you recognize Cassador. Cassador is one of the houses of Carcosa, which is something that you had learned from your book about the noble house of Strahd. This is the cursed city that was destroyed many years ago in your timeline.
We'll go have a chat with her.
You walk into the caravan?
With Friezo? I won't say a knock. Knock, knock, knock. That's another noise, Dave.
Did somebody say my name? It's me and my two brothers. Knock and knock.
Wait, knock and knock arrive.
Wait, what's your name?
Knock.
And your two brothers are Knock and Knock.
Yeah.
I'm Knock.
And I'm Knock.
So there's three of you.
What the fuck don't you get about it, stranger? I got two brothers. All our names are Knock. I got shit to do. I'm a plumber here. And I got, there's only three of us.
All three of you are called Knock.
No, what don't you get? This is my brother Knock.
I'm gonna fuck this guy up. I don't give a shit.
Knock, don't do it. It's not even worth it.
I'm gonna kick him with my beautiful big foot. His stupid, stupid mouth.
Leave it in there.
Let it pickle. Put some brine in that mouth and let my foot pickle.
Did you say you were knocking on the door?
Knock, knock.
A voice emerges.
Yeah. And she's all like...
Sorry about that. My mouth was full of jubes.
Dave, what kind of animal is this person?
A human animal.
Ooh.
Do you know you actually don't know? Because you walk into the door and you see...
Also a great sound! Another great sound!
It's one of them, it's a saloon door, and as you walk through the door, you walk into the door and walk through the door, you see that the entire ground floor of this wagon has been tunneled out to create what seems to be a massive art studio. There are paints everywhere, there are pigments, there are canvases, and there is a figure standing in front of a giant canvas, her body obscuring what she's painting as she turns to look at you. And you do not know in that moment, Friezo, what type of animal she is, because the face that turns to you is in a beautiful lacquered mask of paper and wire.
Oh. You're the artist, mistress.
Yes, I do some painting and I do some painting and I do lots of I do dioramas.
She has some shoeboxes.
It's giving
Adam next to
Sandler,
her.
Isn't it?
Did you do the statue outside?
Oh yes.
Look around, and what Dave? I look around, and what are all the paintings of?
While you're doing this, I will say that Burpo, Bobby, and Filge all enter. Byron and Monsieur Dunaface have gone with Baston's body.
Monsieur Dunaface, did he eat a croissant, Dave?
Is the rest of you crowd into it? And you can see now that there is a universal motif in much of the art, but not what she's... which is what you would assume, but... So there is a motif in most of the art around the studio that you would expect, I won't diminish your intelligence or the podcast's intelligence by saying what it is.
Please, this caravan is shoes off.
These are all paintings of foot.
But I will say that this motif is not present in the work that she is working on now, which is a figure of a beautiful young woman with straw-colored hair, holding an identical mask to the mask that she's holding in her lap, sitting in a chair.
And it's like ankle up, I guess, or what?
No, it's torso. Can you make for me quickly a foot perception check. Investigation?
A looking at a painting check.
Or insight.
Like a wiki feet check? Is that what?
Whatever you're feeling, man.
What am I doing, Dave?
Perception or investigation?
So that's 9 plus whatever's highest.
Actually, everyone that entered can make this roll.
12 in total, Dave.
Well, that sucks.
Ooh, Maddie got 18.
Hang on, I can announce my own numbers,
sorry.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
I got 18.
Yeah!
Fuck you, Maddie!
Maddie! Anyone else?
I didn't come with this. No, I'm not going to. No, don't worry. Nothing. 13. I'm a guest.
As you're all looking, Bobby, Burpo nudges you in the ribs and points at the figure of the beautiful young girl with straw hair, who, Burpo, you realize is her body is almost sort of identical in height and stature to the figure of this quite older matriarchy looking woman.
She's painting a self-portrait?
Yep, but a younger version of herself. Although it's hard to tell because she doesn't have the mask. She does have the mask.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that she's sitting in a chair with the same mask on her lap. And there is a man behind her with two hands resting on her shoulders. But you nudge Bobby and point as if something draws your eye that you do not know what it is, but you assume it is significant. And Bobby, you see that she... Burpo, he is pointing at a ring that is held in the man's, that is worn on the man's fingers of a brilliant blue gemstone that you recognize.
What's up with that, Bobby?
Petrina?
It's the stone of Sergei von Zarevich that you saw from the missing...
It's being worn by the man in the painting.
In the painting that this figure is drawing.
The man in the painting? The young person in the painting?
The young woman has a man with his hands on her shoulders. It's the torso. If you can imagine a frame that is higher than the feet, it's like from mid-thigh to neck.
Right.
Sure. And hands are on the shoulders, and one is wearing a ring.
Is this Dave said before, the town that we went to was called Dorian. Yes?
Yes.
Dorian Gray is that fucking Oscar Wilde book, right?
And so she's painting herself young Dorian to stay old.
Yes.
The opposite of Dorian Gray.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tom. Yes, you had a thought.
Dorian's also a scale.
What's it a scale of?
Oh.
Music, you fucking idiot.
Tom, you get a dice of inspiration.
You can play the secret notes now.
Dave, is this Petrina?
Ask her.
It's not Petrina. This figure is wearing a mask. It's not...
Bobby out loud says, Petrina?
And she kind of freezes and sort of turns to you and shakes her head. And she says, no.
But like, really?
Where did you come by that name, though?
Well, if you know the man in the picture, you will have heard of us.
I will remind you, but just so you're clear, that the stone is worn in a ring. You recognized it as the stone that Sergei wore in his cravat pin.
I am familiar with the name Petrina. She was... Well, I knew somebody of that name when I was, and she gestures to the painting, a little younger than this. Have I told you about my dioramas?
I made
one that is a hospital.
You see? This one is a squirrel in a little house.
This one I call the aquarium. You see, what I did is I took blue crepe paper. That is the water, you see.
Out of you cellophane, but...
Are there any people in your dioramas?
Yes, this is a little guy.
And he
What's
has a
the little guy wearing?
He's wearing a little hat.
And you can see that
How
there is a...
are we talking?
There is. Do you know the diorama that...
That's bloody
you know the diorama that Lisa Simpson does of the Telltale Heart in The Simpsons?
Oh, don't make me admit in front of an audience that I've never watched The Simpsons, Dave.
Oh, well, do I have some great original jokes for you after the show?
There's a little cardboard figure wearing a tiny little top hat.
Yes, this hat here, it took me a very long time to craft. It is the tiniest hat I have ever seen.
What do you want for it?
Oh, is it something that you desire?
More than almost anything.
Oh, well, and she just takes it, plucks it up, and says, in this church, if you desire something, if you need something, it is given to you. So, boink.
And as she goes on to say, the rest of you, I understand you desire something too.
I've worked it out.
Oh, okay. That's a fucking normal thing to say to someone.
Hing, tell us what you want.
Do you want to do a huddle? Or are you going to say it? You want a huddle?
Yeah, let's huddle.
Okay, huddle. Okay,
excuse
okay, okay.
us. Excuse
don't
us.
Mind. Fucking don't mind me.
It's a very small wagon to do a huddle in. Are you inviting?
Actually, would you just step outside
the
wagon?
Yeah, fuck me, I guess.
Are you inviting Burpo into the huddle?
Yeah, Burpo, whatever. I reckon, because if the picture is young and it's stopping her from getting young and keeping her old.
It's a beautiful mind.
That's what you said before.
I was joking because you made a bad guess.
No, go on, Hing. Don't let them bully you. I want to hear where this is going.
Maybe, because Dave's probably been watching a bunch of old movies or whatever. Maybe she has, like, Benjamin Button disease.
That's not an old movie!
I mean, Hing, you have the studio. She's gone, so you can do anything you want. You're in front of the picture.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Do you think I'm gonna goof off, Dad? What the fuck, man?
Well, we look more on the picture.
My mistake here, in this instant, was thinking that I could speak Hing. And I cannot.
Dave, we look at the picture.
Yeah.
Can I do more looking at picture checks?
Yeah. Yeah, you can, because she left. You convinced her to leave because you made it awkward by having an alienating conversation about her.
Okay, but guys, while we're looking at stuff, she says she knew Petrina. That's the body we're looking for to stop the war to get back to where we're going.
Okay?
She's from a house of Carcosa.
When Frieza makes that noise, you just hear from...
Is everything okay in there?
No, keep talking.
Is somebody goofing off in there?
She's from the house of Carcosa. Who else do we know from the house of Carcosa?
Petrina is from the house of Carcosa. It is her body that is missing that has started this war.
So we need to ask her where the body is, find the body, end the war, get the egg, get the fuck out of here.
Okay.
Let's go.
Can I come in now?
Yes, you're welcome back, madam.
Is this lady that evil spaceship we were on that time?
Hello, what a strange thing to say.
Oh my God, is it Chris Casilda?
Are you Casilda?
No. Make an insight check, everybody.
Insight.
Whoa. No,
17 plus 5 is 22. I am so insightful, Dave. I understand everything. The universe reveals its secrets to me.
People don't know listening at home, but Dave's... DM screen is askew terribly.
And he has poured red wine into his whiskey.
Dave has just spilled some liquid on his laptop and he's pinching the bridge of his nose.
Yeah.
But Dave, I rolled a 22.
All right.
Yeah, secrets of the universe, please.
Because you're so insightful, because you understand the human condition, because you read those tiny emotional cues that normal fucking people use to talk, you...
Uh-huh.
Frieza.
Yes.
Notice.
Uh-huh.
That when the name Casilda is said to her,
she
bristles.
Some rockets come out of her feet, and then she
and a shape not unlike the emotion of fury ripples across her face.
She's wearing a mask.
Wearing a mask, Dave.
And travels through her shoulders. Into her knuckles before she immediately recovers. But you see it.
What'd you do? What was that?
No. As she says,
no.
No? So you're...
Did you say Catherine?
So you have no plans to be a spaceship in 800 years?
She seems to visibly relax.
It's like somebody thought that they were that somebody was onto them before they realized they're fine. No, I don't have a plan.
Do you find my friend attractive?
What was that?
I said, do you find my little friend attractive?
And then she seems to notice Bobby for the first time. She says, hello there, little breadcrumb.
Damn. Bobby, get them shoes off, buddy.
There is something about you that I cannot... I wish to paint you. Or...
Fuck you.
All of you, all
if
of you,
you would prefer. All,
if you need.
Cut to Titanic, fuck me like one of your French girls.
Yes, this will work, this will work. You may stay here as the patron of the Sonic Church, not its leader, but its patron. I acquiesce. You may all stay here, and your friend shall see no harm. He will receive the finest of care, and you need not worry that we are looking after him. But I
what a strange thing to say. Imagine going to a doctor, and the doctor says, you need not worry that we are looking after him.
But
if that were me, I would be fucking off pretty quick.
And but saying, I require...
She's saying this to herself.
She spends a lot of time by herself in the caravan. And she says, but I require a service from you. A different service as those each shall serve by the measure of their means.
We got all types of services here, lady.
We have a young child here, barely 22 summers. By the name...
How many moons is that?
By the name... of Chime.
Oh, yeah.
They are so smart. They are so willing. But they have yet to understand the rapture of the sound. You must take them on a mission for the church. You must protect them. This church is nothing without its youngest members. We must survive. And to survive, we must invite the young to partake in the sacrament of the sound. Do you understand?
Got it.
Like 60%.
Bobby, you have a different mission.
Eat my pussy.
I must paint you.
Imagine Ethan Hunt getting that. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to eat my pussy! Takes the sunnies off.
Oi, oi, oi.
Just lowers from the ceiling and dangles there, eating the pussy.
Tom Cruise does all his own stunts, baby.
Very well. You say that...
This is a holy work, you understand.
If one has a desire, then one...
This is a holy work.
...has simply to ask.
The spirit of the siren shall flow through me. I will see what must be painted, and you will help me understand that. You understand?
And you will allow our friend Bobby to ask as many questions as he pleases.
Of course.
Yeah, like, do you like this?
is this okay?
An artist is nothing without a communion with their muse. I will be as an open canvas to Bobby, as Bobby is...
Oh, it's... Bobby, you don't have to do this.
No, let's get goofy.
So the compact is made, and as night falls, you are all fed a meal of wild desert mushrooms. And it has to be said, meat, but there is...
It has to be said.
Keep going.
No,
keep going.
Because meat is, it's like hard to find. It's not like lizard. It's like they are importing meat.
Lizards are meat.
But also, finally, one of the kids, Stanza, comes by and puts on everyone's plate the tiniest sliver of bread and looks at you all apologetically about like a 16th of a loaf. And as night falls, Chime arrives to take the dragon friends forward.
Chime.
Hey guys, just before you go away.
Sure, Bobo.
I'd just like to, look, you've become like really good friends to me. Bobby, Friezo, the other one.
I feel like someone not knowing your name might make you angry.
Yeah, this not happened to old Filgy very often.
Filge,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, whatever, fuckhead.
Hey, and... Look, you seem like great people, but I've got a little hat, and the bread is not forthcoming, and I can make my own bread from magic spells, so I reckon I'm gonna just tap out.
Burpo. 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 Before you go, you want this hat, right? You would love this golden tiny hat. This beautiful golden hat upon my head.
The tiny hat from the diorama feels like a consolation prize. I will admit that.
Could I trade you this hat, this tiny, beautiful golden hat, for a simple pork bun?
Dave?
I'm going to allow it.
Wait, are you just going to keep that in your back pocket?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Until we meet, like, the villain or some shit, and Ben's got to do a voice.
And so, picture, if you will, inhospitable desert, impenetrable by man, rabbit folk, or sexy rhino combined, a place where no mortal creature could find comfort, and yet life has been found here, faith has been secured here, a cult has flourished in the scorching heat, that first sonic church of the siren has grown and flourished, not just in all impossibility, but in defiance of the official history of these forgotten realms, the dragon friends have found themselves in time's most inhospitable, in fate's most curious, and yet they have found two simple missions they must secure in which to find further clues. One, they must travel with the young chime to find the source of a simple spiritual quest that might yet bring a child into the mercy of their church.
This is grammatical edging! I can't!
Secondly,
Ben's just
one is going to embark upon what is presumably a quite sexy group of drawings about a halfling with his shoes off. Thank you!
The cast of Dragon Friends for this month is Alex Lee, Simon Greiner, and Michael Hing, with special guest Maddie Parker. Our Dungeon Master is Dave Harmon, with NPC voices provided by Ben Jenkins and live accompaniments by Tom Cardi. Shakira Khan is our producer. The podcast is edited, mixed, and mastered by me, Hugh Guest, and new episodes are recorded live every month at the Comedy Store in Sydney on Gadigal land in the Eora Nation. This week's episode was made possible by contributors to the Dragon Friends Patreon, who get early access to ad-free episodes as well as exclusive content every other week. Until next time.
Make 100 mistakes and make 100 more. But don't worry, 'cause that's what time travel's for. You can always go back and try again. And if you go back and kill your friends, you can always go back an extra few seconds. You can always go back.
And Stanza says, I'm sorry. This is all the bread we get. We don't truck with the bread Krampus here. It's against our religion.
Baffling reference for not just international, but really any listener.
Are you to tell me that that will be cut from the podcast? Am I to understand that?
For the benefit of our international listeners, Ben had a funny bit where he got a friend to take his shirt off and run through the audience throwing loaves of bread at them. And if that sounds crazy, that's just a thing that happened, and I have to live with it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.